You've been here obviously before, so tell us how much of a benefit this is, and do you rely on the coaches more so because they interact with these guys than maybe you normally would if you were scouting them yourself?
All around, it's a huge benefit for us, but it gets us a jump start on the process. Helps us knock out 110 interviews. Guys that are going to be at the combine helps us with our team. There's 55 guys on our team that now we don't have to go work out in the spring. We got a week workout for them here. We don't have to interview them at the combine. We don't have to do any additional work unless something pops up from now until the draft time. So it saves us a lot of time to focus on the players that aren't here. Mm-hmm. And then it helps us eliminate a lot of guys that we don't think may be a fit for us for one reason or another. But yep. We get to put them through a full Jaguar week of work.
So as much as you find an Aaron Colvin, say, you also can learn of, well, this guy really isn't a good fit for us.
That's right. That's right. So it helps us not make mistakes on some of the guys we draft, and then helps us with the guys we do pick that we feel really good about.
Would guys like Colvin and Telvin a couple years ago been as, I don't say easy, would those decisions have been as easy?
No, they wouldn't have, because they both had their own rights some issues coming out of college, and Aaron was with the ACL, but being around both those guys for the week with Telvin and the 2 or 3 days with Aaron, realized that that we can overlook some of the stuff because we got a really good feel for him here.
Phil talked this morning about how much more cooperation he's seen from players. How big of a favor do you guys think you did the league and this event in general by taking Aaron after he suffered an injury here? Because if it had really affected his draft stock tremendously, it's hard to say where this event would be 2 years from.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We didn't do it to do a favor for the senior boy, I assure you that. We did it because we liked Aaron Colvin, thought he could be a really good player.
Well, what's the impact of it?
I think it's good. I think I think players like Aaron that come here and get injured, it may affect their draft stock a little bit, but his is a feel-good story where he ended up in a good spot and been a starter in the league for the last year and a half.
How important is this not just for your 8 picks, but for the priority of drafted guys that might slip through the cracks?
Well, Nick Marshall, you look Craig Loston the year before, and it helps us in free agency for these guys that don't get drafted. We should have first dibs on them.
How much work has been done, and how much work do you do this week? Like, give us an idea of kind of what Dave Caldwell goes through today.
Well, I'd say 99% of these guys, except for maybe some of the late addition, we have watched and evaluated on video. So just coming out here and seeing how they compete and how they move around live. And then just being hands-on with meetings and having first access to these guys in interviews is important. And then just putting a full process in place and then waiting a month and a half and seeing these guys in the combine and seeing how good of shape they are at the combine and they keep themselves in shape. There's a big picture that you can put together through this process.
Are you more likely to take a chance on a guy if you've had him here than if you hadn't?
It depends. It depends what the situation is. There's a threshold for every situation, every character issue that you feel good about taking a guy at a point where you take him. And obviously, you would like to take 8 really high character guys with no issues. But we also need 8 really good football players too. So we're trying to find balance with that.
Do you find yourself zeroing in more on certain positions now that the roster's gotten in better shape than it has been the last 2 years you've been in Mobile?
Yeah, I know the first 2 years and I think I've told you guys this before, where Gus said, are we going to build this as an offensive team or a defensive team? And we felt like the first couple of years we just had to get a good core of players and really kind of draft A for need, which we had a lot of them, but also trying to select the best players available. The last 2 years have been evident of that, and now we can really focus on, okay, what side of the ball do we really want to build? And we feel good about the offense right now and still have a ways to go there. We're not done by any means offensively, but really focus on the defensive side of the ball, and getting Dante Fowler Jr. back is going to help us. Getting some Derek Marks back is going to help us, and then we have some cap space and some 8 draft picks to fix the rest of the needs.
There's some intriguing FCS prospects here this week. How big is this week for them when they maybe have that competition issue hanging on their resume?
Yeah, it's important. I know when you come here and you feel a lot better taking a guy from an FCS school when they come here and they compete at a high level with the best talent in the country. So, sometimes you can find good football players from FCS schools. Generally, they're, from the third round on down. Occasionally get a guy in the first and second, but usually they're later day draft picks that can elevate themselves off of this game.
With 107, I think, declaring early, or high numbers as it continues to grow, how much does that dilute what we have here?
I don't think it probably dilutes a ton. I think every year is different, but obviously of those 108, the probably 35 of them are going to go in the first 50 picks or so.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of those guys maybe in a year probably wouldn't have played in this game for one reason or other because they're going to be a high draft pick. So you're going to find a your good portion of your mid to late first round guys here and your second round picks here.
Okay. What's Todd said the other day about moving Fowler around in different spots. Mm-hmm. Was that the plan always from the beginning, or was that more after you kind of had
I think for Dante is I think his skill set allows us to he can be in every down defensive end Leo for us. But I think in the NFL, teams figure out if you're going to line up, if he turns out to be a very good player for us, you know, they can do things to negate him. So let's put him in the best chance to succeed, and that might be moving him around. And in college, he did that, and he was in a two-point stance. He was over the center at times in the A-gap. He started his career as a three technique. So he has a pretty versatile skill set where he can do those things. I think what we'll probably do, because he hasn't played, is we'll set him down in Leo. And then as we start the game plan, I think you could see us moving him around.
But having him there, does it make it tough to attract other Leos, or if there's enough?
No, because I think if you see any team with a really good defensive end, they're even better when they have somebody on the opposite side of them, and you need two of them. When you only have one, it's the production's not going to be as high as it could be because they're going to draw a lot of attention, whether they slide the coverage or pass protection to them or chip them or double team them or whatever it might be, but find a way to negate them. But if you have two, it really limits the offense as what they can do.
Speaking of production, rookies at defensive end don't get huge sack numbers, generally speaking.
Sure.
Does that make it more imperative for you to address that as well in free agency versus drafting another defensive lineman?
I think so. You can never have enough pass rushers, right. And we have a need there, and whether it's two more, three more, whatever it might be, and I know the old saying is you can never have enough pass rushers or corners. Very true of pass rushers.
How much did the games this past weekend emphasize that even more with the pressure that Carson Palmer and Tom Brady were under?
Yeah, I think it's always been. I don't think, especially, you know, with my background in Indianapolis, we had Freeney and Mathis, and then Atlanta, my time there, we had John Abraham. So it's, you know, and you look at our games this year, there was a handful of games where we were winning in the fourth quarter. And if we had a significant pass rush, could we have closed some of those games out, or at least half of them? And if we close half of them out, we'd be playing in January.
You promoted Mark to replace Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of his strengths? And
Mark is extremely detailed. He's a great administrator, and he's a real astute talent evaluator, and has a really good feel for values of players throughout the draft, and is really tied into all the little details that may get overlooked at times.
Players, coaches, fans, came in at the same time. Is there a sense of sibling rivalry with them? Did you kind of look at what they did and how they got there in terms of, you know, showing the pace with Ron Rivera and building, you know, with Cam and that way?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we compare ourselves to the Panthers. They, you know, even though they started at the same time, they're an NFC team, and obviously everybody goes about the building process a little differently. I do know they have a core of really good players that are in their second year, contract, and that's what we hope to strive, where we draft well and then re-sign our own guys, and where we can get, you know, a good 5, 6, 7, 8 players in their second contract where we can really, you know, be in that situation.
Will Sulfo be replaced, or how will that job work?
I think Gus and Greg Olson, our offensive coordinator, are looking at that now and seeing you know, where we're splitting up duties and what they're going to do with that.
And then will you guys have a defensive line coach, or is that
right now it's going to be Todd Walsh, and if we're going to take it as it comes in and see if something presents itself, we wouldn't be opposed to it, but it'd have to be the right fit.
When are you hearing the target date will be for the indoor practice facility?
You know, I haven't heard. I think Friday, you know, I'm sure Chad and Mark will bring more clarity to that. I know they're working on a lot of details, and I know it's going to be a great facility.
I think you hinted at maybe Nick Marshall getting a look at safety on the radio.
Yeah.
What makes that a good idea? Why do you like that?
That was just kind of, they asked if that would be a possibility, and I said we discussed it. So the fact that we're moving Nick Marshall to safety isn't a done deal by any means, or any other player movement-wise. Through this process, we go through a lot of discussions about a lot of our players of trying to put them in the best positions to succeed. And, you know, one of the comments was, does Nick have the skill set to do it? He does, but is he better off at corner? And those are some things that we'll work through during OTAs and minicamp.
What's the update on Brandon Linder, and will he be ready for the start of the offseason program, and as well as James Sample?
Yeah, Samp should be ready for the offseason program, and Linder will be close. Linder will be close. Okay. Yeah, so.
Senderic's had,
but definitely ready for training camp.
Senderic's had two major injuries the last 2 years. Concern level about him?
No, both are really isolated injuries, and thank God they're to two different body parts, and one was an upper body part, which is a lot easier for him to come back from. So I think he should be fine, and we look forward to having a big year out of him.